We continue from where we stopped on Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 as we look at this one verse to see the wealth of information, the wealth of instruction that the Lord has for us as children of the living God in the body of Christ. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. I'll just read a portion of it and then we'll take one or two things there and then we'll pray. This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Let's pause there. We have looked at this book of the law and we've said in the day of Joshua, this book of the law was the five books of Moses, Genesis to Deuteronomy. By the time of Paul, Peter and co, this book of the law was essentially the Old Testament. In our own day, this book of the law is the written word of God, the Bible. It says, it shall not depart from out of our mouth. And we noted that it's not about what is stored in the mouth, but what is stored in the heart. And we consider the heart of man, and we said that the heart of man is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all. That kind of heart, if you put in the word of God in there, it will corrupt the word of God. So we must, first of all, cleanse the heart. We must circumcise the heart. And after circumcising the heart, we must now fill the heart with this book of the law. Because out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. And once we fill the good heart with the word of God, then out of it, we begin to hear words that bring life. Words that speak kindly to one another. Now, the Bible doesn't stop there. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. It is not just the putting of the word inside the heart, but it is making that word to come alive in us. So that after filling our hearts with the word of God, we need to process it so that it can become productive in our lives. And this is where meditation comes in. For instance, you know camels. They take in lots of food. When you go to the if you go to a camel market, you will see the camel is always eating something. Have you noticed that? It's always chewing something. But you'll be shocked that not everything the camel eats is going into its digestive tract. This camel is known to have two stomachs. One that digests the food and one for storing food. It is said that its hump is where it stores water. So the camel can travel across the desert without food. Why? Without food and water. Why? It has a storage of food and water that it needs for that journey. It has stored it. And as it goes on, it will bring out a portion that it needs and begin to chew it. It will begin to masticate it. It will begin to chew it. And that one that is chewing, it will send to the digestive tract that will now give energy to the body. And it can continue on that journey. So that when you see camels traveling, it is because they have already stored the food. So by the time they get to the camel market, the first thing they are doing is what? Storing food. Storing food. That is what we meant by you filling the heart with the word. Now that the heart is filled with the word, what do? We just leave it there? No. We need to now bring it out. We need to gurgitate it and begin to chew and begin to masticate. Begin to chew it and send it to the digestive tract of the spirit man, the one that makes the spirit to grow. So that little bit that wants to say, but thou shalt, this book of law shall not depart from out of the mouth, but, so he said that it is not enough to store the word of God in your good or renewed heart. You must also, you know, remember we said, shall is the same thing as must. You must also meditate therein. Meditate in that word day and night. This morning we want to look at that aspect of meditation. When we talk of meditation or to meditate, we're talking of pondering, to ponder something, to ruminate, to contemplate. In Psalm 119 verse 15, Psalm 119 verse 15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. There's a portion that talks about contemplating the word of God, giving yourself to deep thoughts concerning the word of God. Thinking deeply about the word of God. We are not talking of pondering, contemplating, studying, thinking deeply for carnal pursuits. We are not talking about that sitting down in one place that that yoga people do and begin to hum. No, that's what we're talking about. There's another translation that says, I contemplate. Yes. Okay, what does it say? And contemplate your ways. I will meditate in thy precepts and I will contemplate your ways. I will think about your ways. I will give thought to your word. I will give thought to your ways. I will study your word. I will study your ways. So like I said, we're not talking of pondering, meditating, contemplating, thinking about carnal pursuits. No! We're not talking about yoga where you sit there in one place and you just and you're thinking of no, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking of a spiritual exercise in which deep thought is given to the word of God, which we have stored in our hearts and which we have or are reading. So I have read the scriptures. I have read a chapter of the Bible. Maybe along the way, the Holy Spirit stopped me at a verse. I recite that verse. The reason I'm reciting it is because I'm not going to be opening the Bible throughout the day. But I want to store it in the place where I'm going to begin to chew, like the camel. So I recite that word. This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth. That line, I keep it. What is the Lord saying? I begin to meditate on this book of the law. What is this book of the law? What is this book of the law? What does it mean that it should not depart from out of my mouth? So I'm giving thought to the word of God. In that process, you are going to see certain things that will begin to happen. When you do that, you begin to see certain things happen to you. Such meditation leads to effectual praying. That is why meditation is sometimes referred to as praying. If you see meditation in the Old King James, if you look at some translations, instead of meditation, you will see prayer or praying there. Because in the course of really giving yourself to meditating on the Word of God, you invariably enter into the place of prayer. Effectual prayer. Prayer that has results. So let's quickly look at what meditation does to us. What meditation achieves for us. Number one, meditation is the missing link between hearing or reading and understanding and doing. It is the missing link. When the Bible says, be ye not just hearers, but be ye also doers. What links the hearing and the doing is the aspect of meditation. For you to be able to do effectively, you must understand what the Word of God is really saying. And it is meditation that brings that out. Excuse me. Psalm 119, verse 97, right through to 104. Psalm 119 from verse 97 to 104. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, have made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. That's why I have more understanding than my teachers. Because I am what? I'm meditating on the word of God. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from evil way, from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. You remember the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. The problem that the wayside heart had was what? Lack of understanding. That heart heard the word of God, but it did not meditate on it. And because it did not meditate on it, what happened? The devil came and snatched that away. Let's read it. Matthew 13 verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. We can add to that and say, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not meditate on it to receive understanding. Do you understand what is being said there now? This is the problem of this wayside man. Came to church. He heard the word of God, but did nothing with it. He didn't meditate on it. He didn't ponder the word that he heard. He didn't think deeply about the word that he heard. His thoughts were somewhere else. His mind was somewhere else. He was enraptured by something else, but not the word that was being spoken. And so he lacked understanding. And what does the Bible say? Then cometh the wicked one. Who is the wicked one? The devil. And catcheth or snatcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. It is the missing link between hearing the word and understanding the word. If men would give themselves to meditating on the word of God, they would understand the word of God. It is because we don't spend time meditating on the word that we're hearing. That's why we lack understanding. That's why men who are cunning and crafty can come and mislead and deceive us. Because we are not giving deep thoughts to the word of God. We are not pondering the word of God. We are not thinking deeply about the word of God. We are not studying with every diligence the things that we have heard. We are not contemplating the things we have heard.
We can pray,
but because that prayer is not born out of a deep thought, out of a contemplation, it is not effectual in our lives. We don't see the impact in our lives. We just are praying, that's all.
There are people who like to pray,
but they don't like to study the Word of God. That prayer is ineffectual. Prayer must be born from the Word of God. And the prayer that is effectual must be born from deep thought given to the Word. As you begin to contemplate this book of the law, and you enter into a place of prayer, certain things will begin to happen to you. We are going to see it. It is in the place of meditation that you give room to the Spirit of God to speak to you. When you are not contemplating the Word of God, how does the Spirit of God communicate with you? So the first thing that meditation achieves is that it bridges the link or the gap between hearing or reading and understanding and doing. One of the things about meditation is that, we are going to number two now, it is something that is expected of every believer. It is expected of every believer that you will meditate on the Word of God. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'll read from verse 6 right through to 12. Deuteronomy chapter 6, from 6 to 12. The Lord is there speaking to Israel. And we today are the spiritual Israel. So even though he spoke to Israel in the wilderness at that time, he's speaking to us in our own wilderness. What's the wilderness for us today? The world that we live in. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, which you have dealt with. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Verse 7 now. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou wakest by the way, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Do you know that bedtime stories should be the Bible? Not those fake books that the world have given to our children. And that's what we are reading to them. What we should be telling our children is the Bible. When we are walking with them, let's take a stroll, son. We are telling him about the Word of God. When we are carrying that baby and rocking the baby, you are telling him Bible stories. The truth, not some fake thing, not some story that will make him feel good. The truth. What does the Bible say? It says, train up a child in the way he shall go. And what happens when he grows up? He will not depart from it. When you begin to train him on lies, he's going to go in the direction of lies. Tell him the truth about the Word of God. The God that we serve is a consuming fire. He will begin to know that he's a consuming fire. From when he was a child. From when he's a child, rather. By the time he grows up, he will know that he's dealing with a consuming fire. Not the people who tell us that we're dealing with Father Christmas. And you're sitting there in the house, when you're walking by the way, when you're lying down, when you're waking up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontless up between thine eyes. And the Jews practically compressed the Torah into a small cube and tied it to their heads and put it on their hands. They call it the phylacteries. They thought that was what God meant. What was God saying here? Make sure that it is always before you. Meditate continually. That's what he said. How can you teach your children what you don't know? Is it possible? You must know it first. You must have meditated on it. You must know before you begin to teach somebody else. How can a pastor say that he's teaching the Word of God that he has not meditated on? He went to a conference, heard somebody speak, and then he grabs the notes and comes to tell his people. He's just blowing hot air because he has not spent time in deep thought contemplating what God is really saying. When you spend time contemplating, you will begin to see the Holy Spirit. We are going to see that portion. How the Spirit of God will come in and begin to explain things to you. Many of us cannot hear the Spirit of God explain to us because we are not spending time in deep thought. We will rather watch, what do you call those things that people watch? What's it called? African magic. And give deep thought to the juju that you just watched. Then the devil will begin to speak to you. This is how your wife will kill you. This is how your husband is doing. And you believe it. Because that's what you are contemplating. You are not contemplating the Word of God. And we are having quarrels in homes over African magic. So that's what your mother is doing to me. That's what your father has been doing to us. This is what nobody is doing anything to you. You are the one doing yourself. You have chosen to believe juju men than to believe the Word of God. Verse 9. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Have you seen those stupid stickers that you are carrying about? It should be the Word of God. All those visions that you are writing and putting on your refrigerator. They say because you'd like to eat food, so put it on your refrigerator. It should be the Word of God. By the time you look at the Word of God, you will fast. Because you know that this is a serious matter. Verse 10. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Do you know why many of us are forgetting God? We're not meditating on His word. So it's very easy to forget God. Very easy to forget God and to go on a tangent.
In Genesis chapter 24, verse 63, we want to see somebody who contemplated the Lord and see the result that he got. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. I think one translation says he went to pray. I'm not sure. There's a translation that talks about prayer there instead of the word meditation. It says that Isaac went to pray. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. This is the story of how Isaac did not even know that Abraham had made arrangements for a wife for him. This seemed to be his usual practice, to go and meditate. Meditate on God. Meditate on the word of God. Meditate on the ways of God. Contemplate God. And while he was doing that, God was sorting him out. My brothers and my sisters, did you know that as you give thought to the word of God, as you meditate deeply on the word of God, God will be taking care of needs in your life. I'm not fibbing you. I'm telling you what it is. You cannot contemplate the word of God. You cannot meditate on it unless you love the word of the Lord. You know, the Bible talks about those who delight in the law of the Lord. I think we're going to look at that very soon. It is their meditation because they delight in the law of the Lord. Spend time meditating God. Spend time meditating on the word of God. And let me see if that desire that is deep in your heart that you have not been able to have because you are meditating on the word of God, if God will not meet it somewhere. I think I said it earlier today, that when God becomes your focus, your prayer life changes from personal request to intercession and praise and worship and thanksgiving. And yet, God will still meet your needs. The Bible says, how be it? We do not know what we should pray for or how we should pray. But the Spirit of God maketh intercessions on our behalf with groans that is difficult to utter, and our needs are met. Of course, sometimes the Holy Spirit will say to you, ask for this. Immediately you ask. It is a guaranteed thing because he's the one who said ask. Instantly is guaranteed. There will be no misfiring of prayer. I've heard people who have been firing prayers and firing, say, we fire prayer. Nothing has happened. They are just misfiring, shooting into the air. But when you meditate, when you contemplate, you will hear the Spirit of God say, this is what to ask for now. Ask. I think it's Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Let's just quickly look at that. We may even come across it at some point in time. But let's see it now that I remembered it. Isaiah 30, I think it's verse 21. It says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. That is when you are at crossroads of decision making. As you are contemplating the word of God, you will hear the Spirit of God say to you, this is the way you should take. Number three, the third thing that meditation achieves for you and I. Meditation gives the Holy Spirit opportunity to teach us, to expound the word of God to us, to explain certain events to us, so that we have understanding. That's what Isaiah 30:21 is saying. As you are contemplating the word of God, you will hear a word behind you say, this is the way, walk there. Matthew chapter 1, reading from verse 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, while he meditated on these matters, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. The Holy Spirit was speaking. Of course, he hadn't been given at the time, so it's an angel that was coming to him. In a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Do you think if a man had told Joseph he would have believed? It had to come from the Holy Spirit. But when you sleep, contemplating football, contemplating African magic, contemplating that horror movie you have watched, who do you think will speak to you? The devil is definitely speaking to you in your dream. And then you wake up and say, Pastor, I woke up sweating. Of course you must sweat. The Bible says that the way of the backslider is hard. Why will you not sweat? When you have spent, you devoted your entire life watching what you have no business or God, contemplating. Even if you watch it, must you contemplate it? Must you now spend time contemplating it? Contemplate the word of God. And let me see whether you are not going to receive visitation from the Almighty. Verse 21. And shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Did you see how hearing and doing had been linked by meditation? Because he contemplated it. Many of us, we will just go, grab wire. Foolish woman, you don't go carry belle from the place where we will. Carry your cat and get out of this place, my friend. Do you not know what the Bible? But because he contemplated, he was a just man. He didn't want to disgrace her. He didn't want to. So he was thinking of, how do I do this thing and leave her integrity intact and still maintain my own integrity? And as he was thinking on it, what happened? The angel of the Lord interjected in the dream and said, no, this thing is of me. Brethren, before you make decisions, contemplate the word of God. And you see the Holy Spirit helping you in your decision. I think one of the reasons why we're having problems when we take decisions based on, I think. No. Contemplate the word of God. Contemplate God. Meditate on his word and let us see whether you take the wrong decision. You take the decision that you should take. Because the Spirit of God, you have given him an avenue, an opening to speak to you through meditation. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 4. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 4. We're now moving to point number 4. Now, number 1, we said, is the missing link between hearing and doing and understanding, between hearing, reading, and understanding and doing. Secondly, we said that when we meditate on the word of God, when we contemplate God, God himself will sort us out, as he did in the case of Isaac. And number 3, when we meditate, we give the Holy Spirit room to speak to us, to expound scriptures to us, to explain what is going on to us, to help us in our decision making. So number 4 now, Psalm 1 verse 1 to 4. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Blessed is that man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And because he delights in the word of God, what has he done to it? He meditates on it day and night. The Bible says that man is going to be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. Have you seen a tree planted by the rivers of water? Even when it doesn't produce fruit, like the mangrove, it's green, its leaves are always green. Because they are planted by the rivers of water. They always have drink at any point in time. They have nutrients at any point in time. It says that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. You are talking of a fruitful believer. His leaves also shall not wither. Even if there is a famine, because it's planted by the rivers of water, the word of God that is meditating upon has become a source of nutrients and nutrition to his life. It can never wither. It can never wither. Even in a famine, can you imagine when they say there's a famine of the world and you already have the word stored? And not only has it been stored, you are processing it. Are you going to stand? Does the camel stand? Because he has stored the food that is going to eat inside of him. And at the appropriate time, he brings it out. Whatsoever that man doeth shall what? He shall prosper. He shall prosper. Meditation is that bridge between theory and practice. Links it. Any productive or fruitful believer in the things of God, and even in the secular as a consequence, must give himself to the meditation of the word. You are a CEO. You are a marketing person. You are a businessman, a businesswoman. You are doing one vocation or the other, and you are not meditating on the word of God, you are not going to succeed in what you are doing. I'm telling you the truth. Meditate on the word of God and you will hear God say to you that, see, that business you want to do is not from me. Don't touch it. This is the one I want you to do. Go and do this one. That place you want to go, don't go there. Go to this other place. We need to get back to the practice. For many of us never did it, but we need to get to the practice of meditating the word of God. Contemplating the word of God. Think, giving deep thought. After a Bible study, after a Sunday meeting, what do you do? You just close your notes and go and sit down and be eating. Contemplate it. Think about what you heard. Even this message you're hearing. Think about it. And let me see whether in the course of this week the Holy Spirit will not speak to you. Concerning the word of God. Concerning your progress in life. Concerning anything that God wants to say to you. You have given him a doorway and you become productive. You become fruitful in the things of God. Even in your secular engagement. I remember once, I had so many things to do. And before leaving the home, I decided, let me do my Bible study. So I did the Bible study, contemplated the word of God, meditated deeply on it. And as I was going over it, the Lord said, by the way, let's arrange your program for today. Go to so-and-so place. I had to go. I was in Lagos then. I was living in Surulere. My office was in Ebutemeta. I had some things to do in Victoria Island. I had some things to do in Ikeja. I had some things to do all over Lagos that day. And I just didn't know how to do it. And the Lord said, let me plan your day for you. And he said, go to VIFS. And do you know what I did? I went to VI. Can you imagine? All the people I needed to see came to that office in VI. I didn't need to go anywhere. All of them, I met them in that office. That was my day. Done in less than 2-3 hours. Sometimes I would have been running helter-skelter all over Lagos, trying to go here, trying to go there. They all came to meet me in that one place that God said, go to in VI. Meditate on the word of God, and you will have a productive life, a fruitful life. Number 5, when you meditate on the word of God, your faith in God builds up. A lot of us hear the word of God, we hear things, but that's all that happens. We never contemplate it, we never meditate on it, we never think deeply about it, we never ponder what we have heard or what we have seen, and it goes to waste as it were. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 19, and then I read from verse 41 to 51. Luke 1 to 19. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But what happened to Mary? That Mary kept all these things and pondered them where? In her. The others were wondering aloud. What did Mary do? She stored it. I think there's one translation that says, Mary treasured those things in her heart. Let's go to 41 to 51. This was where they went to Jerusalem with Jesus now almost becoming a teenager. From verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answer. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought this sorrow. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And of course, everybody knows the 12-year-old doesn't understand many of these things. Here's the 12-year-old speaking. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother did what? Kept all these sayings where? And we know as before, what was she doing with it in her heart? She was pondering them. She was giving thought to them. She was contemplating them. What does this thing mean? This thing that these people are saying. If I skip the portion where they took him to the temple for the usual rites, and people, one person after the other, came and began to prophesy over him. She stored it in her heart. She treasured those things and pondered it. And we are going to see where the thing landed. John chapter 2. The result, the fruit of her deep ponderings, the fruit of her contemplation, how it accounted for faith in Jesus. And the third day, John chapter 2 from verse 1. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, What have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do. Let's just skip and go to verse 11. In verse 11 it says, because we know that this is the how he turned water into wine. Verse 11 says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and the disciples believed on him. He had not done any miracle. This was the first one he did. And why? How did he come about doing this first miracle? Because of the result of the contemplation of his mother. When they had no more wine, she went to him and said, they have no wine. He said, what do I have to do with wine or no wine, madam? Leave me alone. And she said to the servants there, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And of course, we know what he did. He said, okay. She said, do whatever I tell. Okay. Take the thing, go and fetch water. Did he ask questions? Because the mother said, whatever he says to you, do it. She had pondered enough to realize that this indeed is the Son of God. Have we contemplated the Word of God? Have you contemplated John chapter 3 verse 16? For God so loved the world. What does it really mean? For God so loved the world. Is it talking of the world? Is it talking of the world that we say that we should die to? It must be speaking about something else. That he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Have we contemplated that verse? Or we just quote it? Do we know what it really means? Do we know the depths, the grooves, the ins and the outs of that verse? Do we understand it? Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy father's house, and get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Have we contemplated that verse of scripture at all? Have we thought about it? And I will bless you, and make you a blessing, and you shall be a blessing. I will curse them that curse thee, and I will bless them that bless thee. In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Have we contemplated those verses? There's so much in the Bible to contemplate, that for us to be contemplating on ephemeral things that have no bearing on our salvation, on our eternity. I think we looked at, was it Proverbs 29 verse 18 or so? So where people do not know, was that the redemptive purpose of God, they cast off restraint, they act wantonly. Is that not why the people in the churches today are acting wantonly? Is that not why Christians are chasing after money? Because we don't understand the redemptive purpose of God in gathering us into the house of God. We have not contemplated the word of God enough to allow the Spirit of God to say to us, this is what has been said in this verse of Scripture. A man of God said once, he said, when I read the Bible, I want to know why was this thing put here? Why is it put here now? Why am I seeing it now? I've been reading this Bible for so long. Why is it coming to me now? Then the man said, because a generation that does not know why certain things are in the Bible will raise a generation that will never read the Bible. Is that not what is happening today? How many people want to read the Bible? Nobody wants to read the Bible. They just want to go to church and they want somebody to come and tell them something. And the man who is speaking to them does not even know why he's saying what he's saying. Doesn't even know why that thing was there in the Bible in the first place. But he's talking. Many of us think that being a pastor is equal to being an orator or a performer or a Hollywood star. If anything at all, being a pastor means being a servant of God, a servant of the living God, to give food to his flock at the right time. When you meditate on the word of God, faith will arise. When you begin to meditate and say, wait a minute. Abraham was an idol worshipper. And God could communicate with him. And I am not an idol worshipper. Why? How come God is not? I'm not hearing God. What will he do to you? He will drive you to seek to hear God. Because you have contemplated the scriptures. You have not taken it for granted. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And you say, we have been looking at that one, just one line, for the past 7 weeks or 6 weeks. What is going on? How come this fellow has that understanding? Lord, I want to know you more. You begin to contemplate God. And let us see whether God will not make you to have understanding more than your teachers. Number six, meditation helps us to speak wisely. When we meditate on the word of God, wisdom comes. We will be able to speak with wisdom. The Bible tells us somewhere that we need to be able to give an answer to those who ask us of things. It is the meditation is the result. I remember when I wasn't married and I was being bothered by my friends, well-meaning believers, they're believers, they meant very well. So, boy, get married now. Look at babes all over the place. Get married now. The pressure was much. And I went to God and contemplated. I said, Lord, what answer should I give to them? And the Lord said to me, can you be more concerned about marriage than me? I said, no. He said, now this is the answer you're going to give them. Ask them whether they can be more interested in your marriage than you. And then ask them whether you can be more interested in your getting married than God. When they asked me and I gave them that answer, they stopped asking questions from that day on. And that gave me room to hear God for my wife that I'm now married to. Otherwise, I would have married somebody else because I would have been under pressure by my friends. Contemplate God. Contemplate his word. And he will give you a wise answer that you can give. Psalm 49 verse 3. Psalm 49 verse 3. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks. As you process the word of God in your heart through meditation, your mouth can only but speak wise things. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 to verse 37. Matthew 12, 34 to 37. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? How can you speak good things when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, speaketh forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be... When you contemplate these things, you will know that keep your mouth shut. Unless the Lord asks you to speak, keep your mouth shut. As you contemplate this, there are many things I've told you that I've not broken down. You know why? I want you to go and contemplate them. Because God will speak. He will tell you deep things about some of the things that we just glossed over. It seems like we have glossed over them. But there are very, very many deep things in what we have said. As you contemplate them, you begin to hear God. I'm telling you, you will be hearing. You won't believe that. You mean God can be speaking to me like that? The reason why God has not been speaking, you have not been contemplating His words. You have not been pondering His word. You have not been meditating. When you begin to meditate on the word of God, it's like asking God questions. Lord, what does this really mean? What are you really saying here? Is this relevant to me today? And you hear God begin to speak. Even in verse of scripture, you don't know that are in the Bible. He'll be speaking to you. It is later you discover that, even if it's in the Bible. I'd like you to turn to your neighbor. Whoever is close to you, turn to the person and say, brother, sister, contemplate God. Contemplate the word of God. Stop pondering the juju man. Stop pondering about your problems. Start pondering the word of God. That's basically what it is. Just ponder the word of God. I'm telling you. I don't know how else to say it. Just as I'm saying it. Meditate on the word of God. You've been to church today. Glory be to God. You've heard some scriptures. One of it has shot at you. That is a scripture to contemplate. Go and recite it. Know where the commas are. The semicolons and other things. Understand where they are. Look at what is but doing there. Why is this and in that place? What of the off and die and this? Look at it in various verses of scripture and begin to contemplate it. And I guarantee you, you are going to hear God speak. The Holy Spirit will come to you and say, brother, do you understand? Say, friend, do you know what that thing is? Let me explain it to you. If He doesn't say it to you directly, He will lead you to a place where they are teaching that particular subject. And you will break it and say, this is what the Lord is saying. Glory be to God. You have become wise. And then as you are contemplating what you heard there, and you are going, even what they didn't say, you will now say. Do you know what the Lord said? He said, He will give you His Spirit. He will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance the things that I have spoken to you, that you have read in the Bible. As you are contemplating it, He will say to you, do you remember that verse of scripture that you were praying to me about? This is the solution. This is it here. This particular thing that you are watching now, that is that Bible. That scripture happening in your eyes. You say, Suddenly, the pages of scripture have become a video. You're watching it. The Bible has come alive. Meditation helps us to speak wisely. We know what to say. We know what not to say. As we contemplate God. Somebody has annoyed you. You don't just jump up and say, I'm going to talk. No! Go and spend time contemplating God. Lord, your word says, vengeance is mine. I will. What does it really mean? Because this fellow has been doing this thing for too long. It appears that if I don't show him one or two things, he will never learn. As I contemplate God, God will say to you, why do you want to take it upon yourself to do what I alone can do? Come, son. Come, my daughter. Let's do Bible study. And God takes your mind off the matter. You are doing Bible study. The next time you see that fellow, he has been dealt with by the Lord. When he sees you, he says, sister, don't be angry about the other day. Don't be offended. Don't be offended. I'm sorry. But if you yourself have not learned to forgive, you know what will happen? You'll be holding that fellow in unforgiveness. Even after he has said, I'm sorry. May the Lord teach us all, though. I said, may the Lord teach us all. Meditation aids us in knowing what and how to put to practice what the word of God is telling us to do. I've told you, it's the bridge between hearing and doing, between reading and understanding. So it is the aid. It makes us to know what and how to put to practice what the word of God is telling us. It says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. As you meditate, the Holy Spirit will come and begin to tell you, this is how to do this. This is what this thing is saying. This is how it should be done.
done.
Sometimes the Lord will say to you, did I tell you that you are going to do anything? I said to you, submit to me, yield to me, leave the rest. So you yield. You say, Lord, okay, how do I yield?
Then you have entered into a conversation. It's prayer. What is prayer?
Dialogue between you and God.
You're praying. You're praying.
In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 and 15. Till I come. Do you know that this verse of scripture is speaking to somebody here? And it's Jesus speaking to you. He says, till I come. This is not Paul. How do you know that? What is the Lord Jesus saying here? He says, till I return. What should you do? Give attendance to what? Reading. To exhortation. And to what? Doctrine. To teaching. Till I come. I've told you, when you begin to meditate scriptures, you will see God speaking to you. You will hear Him speaking to you. You will know Him speaking to you. Till I come. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Look at verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. I would like that verse 15 read in different translations. Who has NLT? Verse 15, NLT. The Contemporary English Version says, remember these things and think about them, so everyone can see how well you are doing. You see how meditation is used there? Which one is this now? Okay, the HCSB. It says, practice these things. Be committed to them so that your progress may be evident to... Have you seen how meditation is used? Which one is that one? ISV, okay. NLT, right? Give your complete attention. Throw yourself into your task. Everyone will see that you are making progress. To be clear to all, do you see what meditation is all about? It's a dedication, a devotion to the Word of God. Throwing everything into it. The Bible in basic English says, have a care for these things. Give yourself to them with all your heart so that all may see how you go forward. Okay, read that. So you see that meditation goes beyond just studying something, putting it to practice. Because through meditation you practice. Some of the meanings, some of the translations actually speak of the manifestation of meditation. Because they're not just talking, he's saying that what they're saying is it's not just about a passive thinking, but an active thinking that you will see the actions of. The easy to read translation says, continue to do these things. Give your life to doing them. Give what? Your life to doing what things? The things of righteousness, to continue to read the scriptures. To continue to exhort. To continue to teach. He says, then everyone can see that your work is progressing. The good news says, practice these things. Okay, I think we read it. And devote yourself to them in order that your progress may be seen by all. Spiritual progress is the result of meditation in the Word of God. Let's conclude. To meditate on the Word of God is to be able to bridge the gap between professing faith and possessing faith. There are too many professors, but very few possessors of the things of God. This is largely because many do not meditate on the Word of God. When you meditate on the Word of God, you are able to possess the things you profess. But to profess something and not to meditate on it is not to be able to possess anything. So a lot of us are professing things, but we don't possess them. Because we have not thought deeply on the things we are professing. We are just mouthing things. They don't mean anything to us. Next week, when we look at the nitty-gritty of meditation, how to meditate, you will discover that so many of the praise and worship songs we are singing here, we are just wasting our time. They are powerful, they are effective, they aid the message. But because we don't even contemplate the songs that we are singing, our worship is vain. You must contemplate the songs, you must contemplate the words. They are not empty words. That's why I don't like all these songs. We just come and sing one strange song. Sing songs that are scriptural. You will contemplate God. You will hear God speaking to you through praise and worship. Because you are contemplating Him in praise and worship. It becomes meaningful. It comes alive. My brother, my sisters, it's time for us to move away from being professors of the word to becoming possessors of the work. The word of God, when it's spoken, goes forth to bring things to being. But when we meditate on it, rather, we find ourselves being able to possess the things, even though we do not see them. We know that we have them. We are not just saying that faith is. No, we know that we have them. With every fiber in us. Even when the events around us seem to be contrary,
we are convinced in our hearts, we know that we already have it. And we can tell the devil, it's just a matter of time, and I'm waiting for God. And there's nothing that is going to make me to do anything except when God wants it done. So many people have forgotten about God because they have not retained Him in their hearts. Neither have they meditated on His works. Next week, we are going to see that meditating on the Word of God is one thing. To meditate on His work is another thing. How do you know that God is faithful if you are not contemplating what He has done for you in time past? Do you know that many of us don't understand the faithfulness of God? We talk about it, but we don't understand it. Because we have never spent time to contemplate all God has done in our lives. I see people begin to complain. Oh, Pastor, we need money, we need this, we need that, we need this. And I ask them, have you contemplated how God has seen you through? Have you contemplated the same God who has seen you through all this is the same God that will see you through the next stage. But have you contemplated Him? Have you even appreciated Him for what He has done in time past? Some churches have developed a routine of thanksgiving. A particular day in the month is devoted for thanking God. Can I tell you that when you begin to contemplate God, you will discover that thanksgiving is a daily affair. You're waking up, you're going to bed, in the middle of the day, at all times, it's thanksgiving. It's not a particular day. That's why here we don't have it, but not because we can't have it, we can have it. But human nature will get adjust itself to that one day, whereas you are supposed to be thanking God every day. It's like what the world is doing and the church is copying their Mother's Day and Father's Day. Are you not supposed to appreciate your mother every day and your father every day? Why must that be a deal? And many of us have settled to it. On Mother's Day, we will load the mother with all the love in the world, and after that, till next year. It's the same thing we do to God. On the 1st of January, we come. Thank you, Lord, for last year. We give you glory, we give you praise. As we are beginning this new year, if you are going to hear from me next year, you know what to do this year. Do your best, and I will see you 1st of January next year. And it's done. Is that not so? Praise the name of the Lord. Let's close with Psalm 19, verse 14, and then we'll go and pray. I want us to read it together, all of us, whatever translation you have. Are we there? Want to go? May my words and my thoughts be acceptable to you, O Lord, my refuge and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. My prayer is that your meditations will be acceptable unto God. Because you may be meditating on something that God has told you never to meditate on. Some people have meditated on stars, and they're even teaching it in church now. They say somebody has stolen your star. They have become astrologers. Things that we should be stoning people for is not being preached in the church. We're talking of stars. We're talking of destiny. Is there a destiny apart from God? Where's your destiny if not your destination? And where's your destination if it's not in heaven? What are you looking for a destiny for here on earth? There's no destiny here on earth. Your destination is in heaven. But we have turned ourselves to astrologers. I'm talking of stars. We pick on the so-called wise men who came from the east, that because the Bible called them wise men. And they said they saw the star of Jesus. So now people are preaching about stars and causing commotion in homes. They say it's your brother that has stolen your star. And then you start envying your brother who is doing well, instead of being happy that he's doing well, so that you can be a partaker of what he's doing. You now make him an enemy. I pray that the meditations of your heart will be acceptable in the sight of God. I didn't hear your amen. I pray that as a result, the words that come out of your mouth will be acceptable unto God. Because you will only speak things that the Spirit of God is asking you to speak out. Praise the name of the Lord. I want us to go and pray now. And I want us to pray that verse of scripture. Say, Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's go ahead and pray. Let's go ahead and talk. Let them talk to God. Father, help me to meditate on your word. Day and night. Help me to meditate on your word. Help me to meditate on your word. Let me not just be a hearer, but Lord, one that meditates on that which has been spoken. I have heard quite a bit already today. My Father, my God, I have more than enough to meditate on in the course of the week. I need your grace. I need your help. That my meditation will be acceptable in thy sight. That, O Lord, my God, the words of my lips, the words that will utter forth out of my mouth as a result of my meditation, will be acceptable in thy sight. Talk to the Lord, brethren. I want us to pray. That meditation will become a part of our lives. We shall not just be hearers of the word of God, but we shall be people who meditate on the word of God. We shall be people who find delight in the law of the Lord. We shall be people who meditate on it day and night. Talk to the Lord Almighty. Tell Him, Father, I've heard quite a bit today, but Lord, I need to meditate on your word. I need to meditate on what I have heard, because I know that there is a lot that you need to speak to me about. There's so much going on in my life, and yet I find myself focusing more on myself than on your word. I repent in dust and ashes today, henceforth, and I begin to meditate, Almighty God, henceforth, on the words, your work, your ways. Meet me at the point of need, O Lord my God. My need is to be able to meditate on your word, to be able to meditate effectively on your word. Meet me at the point of need, Almighty God. Oh, brethren, let's talk to the Lord today. Let's ask Him to help us to meditate on His word, because that is how we have more understanding than all our teachers. As we meditate on the word of God, understanding comes to us. As we meditate on the word of God, we become fruitful in the things of God. As we meditate on the word of God, faith arises in us. As we meditate on the word of God, we are able to speak with wisdom. As we meditate on the word of God, we are able to know how to put to practice the things that the Lord wants us to put to practice. As we meditate on the word of God, we give the Holy Spirit opportunity to teach us more, to expound to us the word of God, to explain certain events to us, to put in our lives the reality of the word that we have read in the pages of the scriptures. As we meditate on the word of God, we discover that the Lord is sorting things out in our own lives. We come out of meditation and find out that He has already brought camels coming to us with good things, the things that He alone can give to us. We have not been called to seek after things. We have been called to seek first the kingdom of God and the things, the righteousness of God. And those things that men are seeking after, they will come and be addition in our lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God is speaking of meditating on the things of God. Meditating about the kingdom of God. Contemplating, pondering, thinking deeply about the things of God. Thinking deeply about how you can be right with God. Thinking deeply about how you can do things right for God. And those things that people are running after and chasing after, they shall come to you. It is the word of God. It is the word of God, not the words of a man. The word of God has ability in itself to bring to pass what it has said. Remember, meditation is the missing link between hearing and doing, between reading and understanding. Talk to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Help me to develop the practice of meditation. Meditation in your word. Not a meditation that leads to meditation. But the meditation in your word. The word of God, the written word. The word that is in the book of the law. That I will meditate on it. Day and night. At all times. Every hour. Every moment. Every instant. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord this morning. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to help you, that you may meditate on the word of God. That you may meditate on the word of God on a daily basis. Brethren, talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Pray unto the Almighty God. Pray unto the Almighty God. Talk to the Lord. Masokoto likabrakadaleke. Masakatayarikabragadalika makotoreke. Father, I want to know why certain things are in the word of God. Why did you put this there? Why did you put that there? My Father, my God, help me to meditate on your word day and night. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Lord, I have been speaking foolishly lately. Father, help me through meditation to know what I ought to speak and what I ought not to speak. Makatalika brokondoleke. When I ought to open my mouth and when I ought not to open my mouth. Makatalika brasandaleke makatayareke. Progodolika makondoreke keke brakatalike. Oh, my Father, my God, that I might live a rich life. A rich and fruitful life in the things of God. A rich and fruitful life, Almighty and everlasting God, spiritually. As I meditate on your word. As I meditate on your law. As I meditate, Lord, on the book of the law. As I meditate, Almighty and everlasting God, on the words that you have written in the Holy Scriptures. Makatali kabroso kondoleke. Rendeleke magadayari kabrokotoleke. Rikanda leke masakata yareke. Rakanda lika makotoreke keke brakanda leke. Oh Lord my God, so much has been spoken to me today. Father, help me. Help me, Lord, to meditate on them. Help me to meditate on them and to be fruitful
in the things that I have heard, to be fruitful in the words that I have read out of the book of thy law. Help me, Almighty and Everlasting God.
Masakata lika brokondo leke. Rindelege magada yareke brakata lika masakanda yareke. Makondo rika brokoto leke. Rekekekeke makanda yarekekeke. Brasakata lika makanda yareke.
Help me henceforth, Lord, to patiently look into the law of liberty. To be like that fourth heart that through patience brought forth fruit because they had understanding.
Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold.
Help me, Almighty and Everlasting God, as I contemplate your word, to seek that upward call which you are calling me to. To be worthy of the vocation that you have called me on.
Help me, Almighty and Everlasting God. Help me, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Makata lika brusukundo reke makanda yareke. Razagada lika masakanda yareke. Brasakanda leke. Makoto lika brokondo leke makanda yareke. Keke bragada leke masakata lika brokondo leke. Makata yareka brokondo lika makondo reke keke. Brasakata lika masakanda yareke. Keke bragada leke makondo reke brusukoto lika makata yareke.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Makata lika brosokondo rekeke makanda yareke bakoto rekeke brakata leke. Masakata yareka brokoto lekeke makanda yarekeke brakanda leke.
Makata lika brosokondo.
Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, Almighty and Everlasting. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name
we have prayed.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to challenge you henceforth. When the Spirit of God speaks a word to you, when you hear the word of God in a dream, before you rush to go and tell anybody anything, sit down and contemplate what you have heard. You know, sometimes, as you contemplate what you have just had a dream on, the Holy Spirit will tell you and say, forget that thing, it's not from God.
You don't need to waste time on it anymore. Just shred it to bits and discard it. Don't even think about it.
Sometimes you have a dream and you are thinking on it, you are contemplating it, and the Spirit of God will say, do you understand what that dream is? You say no. Do you want to know? Yes, I need you to tell me, I want to know. And then he will begin to direct you. He will tell you himself. If it's something that he doesn't need to tell you, he will tell you what to do. Remember Cornelius? An angel appeared to him and said, send for Peter. He's going to tell you something that you need to do. It's not about giving of money. He's going to tell you what you need to do. Peter came and told them. And that same instant, they received the Spirit of God. And their lives will never be the same. Your life will never be the same again. I can guarantee you that by the time we are through with Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, you'll be assured of your eternity. Your standing in heaven, you'll be sure of it. No demon anywhere will be able to shake you. No preacher carrying a false doctrine will be able to dissuade you. Because by the special grace of God, you would have come to know what the word of God is all about. Why the word of God has been given to you. And how you are to apply it into your life. The Lord will help you in the course of the week. Praise the name of the Lord.